97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I've been looking forward to talking to Paul Hutchinson for quite some time. Having been a fan of the movie Sound of Freedom, we've talked to producers of that movie. It's great to talk to Paul Hutchinson, who is kind of the whole point of the movie, the inspiration behind the movie. Paul, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks, Ryan. It's great to be here with your audience as well.
So for people who have not seen Sound of Freedom, which was just a global phenomenon and so glad that that movie was made and exists now, give people a little bit of a background as to how that movie got made, why you were the subject of a feature film.
Well, I was one of many subjects of that feature film. In fact, the truth is we took about 8 different undercover rescue missions of trafficked children throughout the world, and we put those stories together with about 20 different operators together into a handful of actors in a film that did very, very well in creating awareness for the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world, which is human trafficking. And I was the primary investor in Sound of Freedom. I was also an executive producer, and the producer actually played me in the film. So in the very first rescue mission, I was in real life, I was the fund manager who quit his job to finance that and go undercover and start rescuing children. Since that time, I have led or played a key part in over 70 undercover rescue missions in 15 countries, including the jungle rescue that we did in Haiti. In real life, that was after a little boy, not after the little girl that was in the movie, but we kind of put them all together into the same storyline. So that was just one of the many rescue missions that we wanted to bring to light to help good people everywhere be aware of what's going on so that they could keep their children safe and so that we could work together in eradicating child trafficking.
Paul, we've talked to some of the fundraisers for Sound of Freedom to get it into theaters because we've heard the story of how that movie even came about and how it was almost shelved. And, you know, it's really a story on its own of how the Sound of Freedom came about. But you left your professional career in 2017. That's a pretty big jump to commit to this cause.
Well, and it's even a bigger jump when you realize what that career was. I was the co-founder of what was at the time a multi-billion-dollar investment firm. In fact, when I retired completely in 2017, we had well over $10 billion in assets under management. So I was doing very well in the professional career. In fact, my business partner, John Pennington, when I first went undercover on that first mission, he called me up and he said, "Paul," he said, have you thought through this?" He said, you're set. You literally could sell out and buy an island and be happy the rest of your life." And I said, "John, would I really be happy if I bought an island, if I bought another plane or a yacht?" I said, "If I was doing something else dangerous, if I was climbing Everest, you and I would have the same conversation." He said, "Yeah, we probably would." And I said, "When I'm 95 years old and I look back on my life and I say I climbed this mountain and I helped build this multi-billion-dollar company and I helped rescue this many children from slavery, which one of them matters at all?" And he's since that time become one of our biggest supporters in the Child Liberation Foundation and other foundations that I have helped to start and fund over the years.
So the Child Liberation Foundation, Paul, you know, why was that such a calling for you? I mean, what is it that you said, "I have to do this"?
Well, if you saw the movie, there's a little girl. They called her Princess, referred to her as Rocio in the movie. That was just a name we took from one of my ex-wife's names. But it was that little girl that changed my life forever. I was sitting in a chair. This little girl presented as 11-year-old virgin standing before me. Her eyes were almost even with mine as I was sitting down and she was standing up. And all I could see was fear in her eyes. And her makeup had been smeared from her crying, scared to death of meeting me and the other men who were supposedly going to defile her. And I made a commitment at that moment to myself, to my Creator, to God, to that little child, that I would dedicate my life to eradicating that evil from the face of the earth. And since that time, that's exactly what I've done. I turned to the Homeland Security agent that was with us at the time and some of the other operators, and I said that was the most transformational experience ever, and that I had experienced up to that time. And, you know, I had donated a lot to child-related charities, but I had no idea the evil that was in the world. And when I saw it firsthand and saw how horrible a situation that was, and realized that it was the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world and the second most profitable, second only to illegal drug trade, and soon going to become the most profitable, because you can sell a bag of cocaine once, you can sell a child 5 or 10 times a day for years and years. And so I ended up retiring early, quit my job, and dedicated millions of dollars and all of my time to fighting child trafficking. And with the movie, we realized that, you know, back at the time of Abraham Lincoln, it wasn't guys like us. It wasn't the teams that did the undercover work and rescuing the slaves. It wasn't them that created the biggest difference. It was people like you, Ryan. It was the influencers. It was Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, which was the media of the age that created an awareness with good people of what was going on in the South. And in fact, years later, when Abraham Lincoln met Harriet, he shook her hand and he said, "So you're the little lady that wrote the book that started the Civil War." And so that's why we had to make the movie. We had to create awareness so that we could start having these conversations, and parents could learn things to keep their children safe in a dangerous world.
Paul, and that is why you're doing media now, as I understand it, is to talk about this issue. Let's talk about this before we run out of time. What is happening right now in Ukraine, and how is it related to this war that's ongoing?
I'll tell you this, Ryan. Every time there is a war, there is a massive earthquake, there is a calamity of any sort, traffickers around the world will come and take advantage of that situation. We spent a bunch of time in Haiti. Hundreds of children have been recovered in Haiti and brought back to their families because of our efforts and other foundations that I have helped to fund and start and our teams have worked on. And a huge percentage of them came from when the earthquake happened and traffickers brought these children into these horrible situations. This happens in every country that there's a travesty like that, and absolutely it's happening in Ukraine with the war. In fact, even before the war started, it was known that one of the worst places in all of Europe for child trafficking was in Ukraine, and there is a lot of things like this you're trying to cover up the child trafficking that's happening. And so as soon as there's a war somewhere, we have teams that go in. We've got teams that have been in Israel, in the Hamas areas, and identifying children that are there. And absolutely there's things that are going on in Ukraine as well. We've had teams over there many, many, many times. But it's been a source of human trafficking since the early 90s. There's a lot of people that are being trafficked for the purposes of forced labor, and a lot of sexual exploitation that's happening there as well.
Get more at 971talk.com.